call on the ice stands. We gotta go.
Okay, fellas, we are set to go.
Let's roll, boys. Come on, let's get going.
We are kicking.
Here we go.
Both guys, 5 minutes each for fighting.
Watch the blue.
Play the puck.
We're not doing this.
Hey. After further review, it's the Scouting the Refs podcast.
Yeah, baby.
Here's your hosts, Todd Lewis and Josh Smith.
Okay, gentlemen, play ball. Let's go.
All right, guys, let's drop the puck.
Josh, I know I have said this previously on different occasions when we've done the podcast. I don't think I have seen a week like the previous week with so many things happening, some outrageous circumstances, rules that you had almost forgotten about coming into play. We had it all, I think, really encompasses this past week.
We've had player safety involved. We've had ejections. We've had suspensions. We've had coaches suspended. We've had hand passes, almost a goalie fight. I mean, really, could you ask for more, Todd?
I don't think so. And we will cover it all on this edition of the Scouting the Refs podcast. Please make sure you follow all the social channels. You get Josh at Scouting the Refs on both X and Instagram. You get me on X and Instagram at Todd Lewis Sports. Coming up on this week's episode, sticks up, fines issued, overtime goalie pull, Rempe sits, Torts fumes, and how about this one? Politeness counts. And it's almost a little unusual and refreshing to see when we have had referees get caught with the hot mic and some pretty hot words dropped. Kyle Raymond kind of goes a different way.
Go to the box, please. Go to the box, please. Now.
I think he sums it up quite nicely. Just please get in the box. I'm calling please. The penalty. There's no discussion to be done here.
That was beautiful. Please go to the box, please. You know, we've definitely heard some other words issued to the players when they're on their way or when they refuse to go to the box politely and cooperatively. So nice of Raymond. You know, maybe he's finding that a polite approach works.
You get more success with honey than you do with vinegar, something along those lines. And then it was James Tobias who had a very frank conversation with Connor Bedard, among others.
Do you guys feel like get out of the way a little bit?
Which side?
Either, just like if we right. curl up, you know, okay. like this place.
Yeah, I'm trying my best to see out of my way. You guys are fast and I'm slow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Sums it up nicely. You guys are fast. I'm slow.
Hey, you know what? There's so much room on the ice that is taken up by players, pucks. You're trying to give a guy a lane, and sometimes you want to give up the boards. Sometimes you want to give up the space in front of the boards. And sometimes when you're a guy like Connor Bedard, you've got to get used to not only reading the opposition, but reading the officials and knowing at the NHL level where these guys are going to give you room and how to take advantage of that space. So I think Mr. Bedard will learn a little bit about how better to avoid the NHL officials. But yeah, it's tough when you're a linesman and you're skating backwards and you're in the way, because the last thing you want to do is be in the way.
And no, you don't want to be in the way, because we've seen linesmen eat a few pucks this season too. And it stings, it hurts, it leaves a mark.
It does. You don't want to break up a play. I mean, you cause a scoring opportunity the other way. It's absolutely something that you don't want to see happen. But with the speed of the game, it's inevitable.
Shall we get to the most salacious event of the past week? And that involved Philadelphia coach John Tortorella, who I guess we could say he became upset at the officials during a game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But this is beyond upset. This goes to a whole other level. There were a few penalty calls made against the Philadelphia Flyers that he did not agree with. And the Bolts are up 4-0 and Torts goes tilt. And there was a bench minor issued. And John Tortorella was ejected from the game. I think part of that is maybe orchestrated. He's standing up for his team. I'm supporting you and trying to get his guys going. But then he decided he wasn't going to leave right away. Nope, not leaving, not going. And doesn't, of course, sit well with Wes McCauley. So what can you do but wait for him to leave? It was, I know it was funny. I know it was hilarious that so many people saw this on social media and said, oh yeah, good for John. Way to go. Good for John. No, it's petulant behavior is what it is. And yeah. Understandably, the league suspended him for 2 games and fined him a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, look, I'll give Torts credit. You're down 4-0. You're unhappy with the call, and it was Wes McCauley, Brendan Schrader working the game. So you have a younger referee who made the call. McCauley stands up for the younger official, and you've got the penalty. I think we're okay there. I won't give Torts a hard time. He wants to fire up his team. He's not happy with the calls on the ice. Good. Torts knows how to use this to his advantage. He knows how to blast the officials, to fire up his club, and I won't give the guy a hard time for doing it. It's a strategy. But when you get tossed, you've got the minor penalty, you're getting the misconduct, when you refuse to leave the bench, and now you're showing up the officials. Now you're disobeying, you're not following the rules. That's where the league has to step in here. So let's not pretend that Torts was suspended or fined because he was arguing with the officials. I think we were good on that. I think that was handled appropriately. When Torts decides not to leave the bench, that's when this goes from firing up my team, sending a message, showing my displeasure, and that's when he's really trying to show up the officials in the league. So I was not at all surprised. 2-game suspension for a coach is not a pretty rare thing. So didn't know it was going to go that far. I thought for sure we'd see a fine, but I think they wanted to send a firm message here that, look, we're going to allow perhaps that you can argue the call on the ice and the officials will penalize it appropriately. But once you refuse to leave, once you're disobeying an order, that's when we have to do a bit more than that. So look, Torts knew what he was doing there. I think he knew it was coming. I think he knew the dollars were coming. And I saw that the Flyers CEO had agreed to pay those fines. He was happy to see his coach sticking up for the team. And again, great message from a team standpoint. Great to fire up your club. But I think it went a little bit too far when it comes to refusing to leave the playing area.
I'm a little curious to think back now to the off-season meetings between the league and the general managers and the coaches, where the video was shown to those representatives from the teams and everyone was told by the commissioner, okay, it's time to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's move forward with some decorum. I'm not sure that message has been received fully yet.
Well, I think Torts definitely delivered a message, but not one of decorum.
No, but and you know what? Good for Wes McCauley and how he handled this as well. The linesman went over and told Torch, like, look, you've got to leave the bench. You can't be hanging around. He did not go over to, which only would have escalated the situation further, and you would have had them jawing at each other. He stayed away, and that was the right move.
You're right. It's a good strategy. You're protecting the younger official in the other referee working the game. And I know Torts wanted to talk to McCauley about it, but at that point, there's nothing to talk about. He's been tossed from the game. Torts' behavior got himself tossed from the game. And at that point, the ref's not going to engage. And I don't blame the guy. There's nothing to be gained from that conversation at that point. It's done. Torts has been ejected. So there's nothing for Tortorella to do but leave the ice surface. And again, he didn't. The penalty's been issued. His employer is apparently fine with it. And, the Flyers just have to go tortsless for a pair of games.
Yes, there you go. A couple of fines were issued this past week. Edmonton Oilers forward Evander Kane got fined $2,500 for unsportsmanlike conduct for a game against the Columbus Blue Jackets and forward Cole Sillinger. It was late in the second period. There's no penalty called on the play. I could not find any video on this. And it just kind of makes you go, I wonder what he said.
Yeah. I know we're never going to get the mic'd up clips, but I would like if player safety would at least tag the video when they issue a fine so we can at least see what it was. I'm sure Kane knows what he did, but for the rest of us or for anyone else around the league to understand, you know, where's the bar for that fine? What is it that pushed it from not worthy of supplemental discipline to actually deserving of a fine? I'd be curious to know where that is, Todd.
More fines, these involving the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Jake McCabe gets a $5,000 fine for cross-checking Brad Marchand. I'd say he got his money's worth on that one. That was pretty good. And there was another one later on. Charlie Coyle got a $5,000 deduction for cross-checking Jake McCabe. So again, the Players Party Fund is $10,000 richer from this game. But boy, oh boy, those were some nasty stick work pieces there.
They were. Like you said, you're really getting your money's worth there. And there was a meme going around on social media of players lining up that it we didn't know. It's just it only costs $5,000 to cross-check Brad Marchand in the face. Let's line up. The queue starts to the right.
That's a line that would go around the block. You could definitely have to impose some sort of maximum in there, because I don't know how many Marchand would take, but there'd be a long lineup. Okay, so the other crazy situation involves the Minnesota Wild and the Nashville Predators. This in overtime, and Minnesota needs points to try to climb their way up into the standings and into the playoffs. So when the game does get into overtime, Coach John Hines decides, you know what? I'm going to pull the goalie and we'll go with four skaters. And that's fine. It's not something that you see very often. But when you do, you risk losing the point that you have already accumulated. You better refresh us on this rules and how it works, Josh.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. It was funny to see after the game that even some of the players weren't aware of the rule, which you would think that the coach, and I'm going to assume the coach is aware of the rule at this point, but you'd want to give the guys a heads up because the stakes are a bit higher here. So you've got Minnesota. They need points. They need points against Nashville. So that makes it even more valuable. But in overtime, if you pull your goaltender and lose the game with the goaltender removed, you forfeit the automatic point. It's a rule that went in place when the NHL added the loser point around the overtime approach to things. And one that, like I said, it's funny to see the players aren't aware of how that rule works or that rule's even on the books. And I think it's designed in a way where now it kind of forces us to go to the shootout, which I applaud the Wild for making a go at it. You're behind in the standings. You need to gain as many points as you can. So why not? But had they given up a goal, had they lost that game, boy, I mean, that's a huge blow to their playoff possibilities.
I really like the idea though, that John Hines is thinking, look, this is the team that we're fighting for. Yep. to beat and get into the playoffs. And it's an opportunity for us to get an extra point. So I think that's great. And we'll use this as well to say that the NHL standing should go to a 3-2-1 point system, because you will have more teams trying to win in regulation to get 3 points for a regulation win.
Absolutely. And I think it makes sense. So many folks have been arguing in favor of that. It makes a lot of logical sense to me. Each game becomes worth 3 points. If you win it in overtime, you give up one of those points and you give it up to your opponent because it was an overtime game. So I think it makes perfect sense. But I think, Todd, when you look at it, and I'm glad Hines did it. I think it was a great strategy, but he messed up. he should have pulled the goalie in regulation because Nashville's already got a point out of this game just by it going to overtime. You're risking that point. If you're willing to risk that point by pulling the goaltender, you do it in regulation so that Nashville gets no points out of the situation. I mean, really, if he wanted to have the balls to go for it, do it in regulation, John.
Yeah, that's a good. But again, if it was 3 points that right. Hines could potentially get in regulation, I'm sure that yes. that would have been happening. So again, this is a funnily enough, the general managers are meeting. Maybe they can kick this idea around because I'm sure they've got nothing else going on.
You know what? I think it feels like the loser point just it inflates things. It makes them seem closer than they are.
Right.
But I think it's hard to compare. And plenty of analysts and sports writers have said, well, here's today's standings in the 3-point system. It's not fair to do that because team strategies are based on the current system. So whenever you look at the standings and say, hey, if it was 3-2-1, it wouldn't be that much different. Well, sure it would, because you'd have situations like this where maybe the Wild go for it in regulation and you don't have an overtime game. You don't have a shootout at all. Whether they win or lose, it happens in regulation because they were going for those 3 points with none for the Predators versus a compromise in the middle. So anytime somebody talks about what the current standings would look like, you have to throw it out the window, because if I'm a head coach, my strategy changes entirely if I'm getting 3 points for a regulation win.
Yeah, and honestly, the perception of only being a point or two out is good for what the league wants to sell as races right down to the end of the year. Exactly. That of course was not the only weird thing that happened in overtime. The other one happened in the Buffalo Sabres and Edmonton Oilers game, where the Buffalo Sabres scored to claim the victory over the Edmonton Oilers with just a couple of seconds left on the ice. Jubilation, celebration, both teams finally leave the ice. The Sabres, of course, last because they are celebrating the victory. The referees, though, kind of hang around for a little while because they got a call from the NHL Situation Room and said, hold on, we want to have a look at this. The review took, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes, and I'm convinced both teams had at least a couple of players undressed, skates off in the shower, and it took a long time for them to come back out onto the ice. But as you see, it's clearly offside. The Oilers are returning, but honest to goodness, this is after they've taken time to get dressed. And I guess the good news is that the Sabres did win the game in the shootout, because can you imagine if it went the other way?
Yeah, Alex Tuck was the guy that was offside, and Tuck was the one who ends up getting the shootout winner. So I think he made up for his failure to stay onside on that play. But it's one of those moments where, look, the Situation Room's not rooting for anybody to win the game. The officials aren't rooting for anybody to win the game. But they're really hoping that you don't have it decided on an offside. Now, I know they got the call right. And we've seen a few situations over the years where after the final goal in overtime or even in a shootout that the league had to take a second look at it. But when you hold your breath to see if the goal's going to count, you're not expecting it when everybody's already gone. And it was a funny visual because you see nobody's on the ice except the officials, and they're huddled around in the ref's crease reviewing the play as the Sabres mascot is out there skating, celebrating the victory. So you were hoping, like, well, they can't possibly make them come back. And yes, they could. So, look, I know we have folks who don't want the review of an offside. But if we're going to allow reviews of offside, we have to get the call right. They got it right. It was very much offside. And until technology lets us confirm those calls real time or lets us use a combination of AI and puck player tracking to make that call electronically in real time, we're going to have situations like this. I'll go back to what I said earlier, is that the Situation Room can at least say, look, we got the call right.
100%. It absolutely was the right call. And again, I just think it's good that Buffalo won the game in the shootout. Because yeah, that would have been messy.
And look, if I'm in the room or if I'm one of the linesmen there, I'm holding my breath going, could these guys just win? Look, you know what? I'm not rooting for them, but to have that goal lost, to have the fans celebrate, to have one fan that we actually heard from was driving home, thought the game was over, didn't even realize they came back out. He was out of the parking lot already and turned the radio back on after he saw our tweet about the review and went, I had no idea that the game was still going on.
Unbelievable. We sort of got it, but we didn't really get it because there weren't really any punches thrown. But we almost got the very popular goalie fight with John Gibson of the Ducks and Peter Mrazek of the Chicago Blackhawks. The scrum occurs behind the goal, and one of the Hawks is kind of getting, we'll say, fed. And then Peter Mrazek is trying to protect his teammate, which, of course, John Gibson sees from the other end of the ice. And that means I'm skating the length and I'm going to grab the goalie and let's just see where this goes. And fortunately, it didn't erupt too much.
No, thankfully. Well, I shouldn't say thankfully because I would rather, it's, you know what, these guys aren't equipped to throw down, but it's always fun when you see them try to have a goalie fight. So yes, he was intercepted. Gord Dwyer making a return recently from injury. He was out, had some off-season medical issues, or had some medical issues earlier in the season that kept him out. Now he's back. He's had some exciting games, including this one where he's breaking up a goalie fight. But man, I would have loved to have seen it happen. It doesn't happen. And actually, Gibson picks up a second penalty for it. Participating in the play over the center red line is a minor penalty. And that's playing the puck. That's checking an opponent. That's going to go and try to join an altercation there. So he picked up an extra penalty for it, which was unfortunate for the guy. He's just trying to stick up for his teammates.
Sure. Right. That's what he's doing. A couple of suspensions to close things out on this edition. First, sends forward Parker Kelly, gets suspended 2 games for an illegal check to the head of LA Kings defenseman Andreas Englund. Englund's trying to keep the puck in the Senator's zone. Kelly delivers a blow to the head. He got a minor penalty and then a call from player safety, who delivered a 2-game sit down. And it was well earned, I would suggest.
Yeah. And again, this is one of those situations where you've got the minor penalty call during the game, which means we're not reviewing it. The officials thought that that was the right call. You don't have the ability to upgrade the call. You have to call the major or match penalty if you want to be able to take a second look. And at the time, real-time call on the ice is a minor penalty. The NHL has said they don't want the officials officiating or reffing the game via review. They want them to call what they see on the ice and then leverage the review process. So that's what happened here. We had the minor penalty and player safety tacked on a little bit more, which this is how it's supposed to work.
All right. So the big one of the week, the latest folk hero of the NHL for some, Matt Rempe, creating havoc in the New York Rangers and New Jersey Devils game. Watch the video. Rempe skates across the ice. He delivers a high elbow to the head of Devils Jonas Siegenthaler. Major game misconduct, and then acts like a jerk, waving to the Devil's bench as he leaves. The linesman did a great job preventing further escalation because this could have gotten out of hand very quickly. So now Rempe is going to sit for 4 games. I don't know. Is his 15 minutes up? Because I sure think it is. I know that some think that this is great and some are now worried about his personal safety. He's kind of acting like a jerk. I almost thought he was going to get more than 4 because this one reminded me of the Brendan Gallagher hit earlier in the year, and Gallagher got 5 games. So I almost think he got off light getting 4.
Yeah, I can see that argument. I think what saved him versus Gallagher is on the Gallagher hit, it looked like Gallagher was going elbow all the way or that he was lining up for the shot to the head. In this case, it looks like Siegenthaler puts the brakes on. So what Rempe needs to do there is either let himself miss on the hit, adjust his angle of attack to actually hit Siegenthaler in the body. He's a big guy. This guy's what, 6'7", 6'8"? That's a lot of player to move. He didn't. He sticks his elbow out. You get the chicken wing to the head. This is a desperate move when you're missing on what would be or potentially be a legal body check. The fact that he's as tall as he is doesn't give him a pass. You can clearly see that there's an elbow extension. So I think it's the right call. I thought it was going to be 3 games. I'm okay with 4. 5 wouldn't have been out of the question. But I was looking in the 3 or 4 game range just because it starts as a legal hit. It's not necessarily head hunting. It's a desperation move here to try to make contact. And that shows me that it's an immature player or it's a guy who has not yet learned how to hit legally or to make sure that he's staying on the right side of the law. And we see this with a lot of younger players that come into the league. Some of them figure it out. Some of them don't. I think Rempe came in as throwing down and starting fights. I think he got made a name for himself. And then he had probably a game or two where he was effective as a power forward. He was going down low. I think he's, I don't know if he scored one and had one taken away. I think the puck didn't cross the line, but he was basically an effective net front presence for the Rangers. If he can do that, great. You're not going to do that when you're delivering hits like this. You need to learn how to hit legally. You need to use your 6'7", 6'8" frame for good and not pick a guy's head, not make an illegal hit. And that means deciding when not to deliver a body check or when you have to keep your arm tucked and not do these kinds of things. If he can figure that out, great. The Rangers might have a player, but if he doesn't, if he's just going to go head hunting and drop the gloves, then I think his NHL career will be relatively quick.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that. I'm wondering though, with suspensions, I think we've talked about this before. It's been suggested previously, is do you suspend based on the offense? And I'm wondering if you go a step further now, is that if you deliver a hit to the head or an elbow to the head, if it's deemed to be, I don't want to say accidental versus deliberate, but maybe if you show some sort of let up, but still deliver the blow, then the penalty is a little bit lower.
You know, and that's something we don't get the inside scoop on everything that player safety is considering, but we do know that they consider whether or not there was an injury on the play. So I think you're looking, and every situation's different and every player is different. They are looking to see, you know, was there an injury? Did the player attempt to minimize contact? That's something we've heard from player safety in their videos before. Is it accidental? Is it intentional? Is it accidentally on purpose? Is it one of those things where you're putting your arm out to brace yourself or try to deliver a hit and you just missed and your elbow catches him? I don't think that's what happened here to Rempe. I think that was, hey, I'm missing the hit, so I'm sticking my arm out. But you bring up a good point, Todd. If we can say that it was intent to injure, or we're confident that there was some degree of intent to injure, does that make it more severe when we look at, was there actually an injury on the play? I mean, Siegenthaler's out for an extended period of time. How much of this should reflect in the suspension? I think right now the goal is to focus on intent. And I think that's what you want to do, because certainly an accidental play that causes an injury should not be dealt with as harshly as an intentional one, but it's so hard to judge intent. And it's so hard to figure out what was in the player's head right before they delivered this hit. Was he really trying to get him? Was he just trying? And I think the case here, Rempe's trying not to look bad. He wants to hit the guy. I don't think he wants to take his head off, but he doesn't want to miss on the hit. So the only thing he can do is to stick his elbow out. It was a bad choice, and that's why he's banned for 4 games.
We'll see what happens in this final month of the NHL regular season. I don't know. What could we expect next week? Goalies changing on the fly, perhaps? I mean, that's about the only thing left.
Hey, we'll wait and see. I think the league will always have something fun in store for us, whether it's the players, the coaches, player safety. I'm just waiting, Todd, because we never know what each week's going to bring, but they always seem to find something.
Good stuff, man. Where to work?
Get in the box. DG. It's the Scouting the Refs podcast. Read more at scoutingtherefs.com. Follow Scouting the Refs on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Email the show at heyref@scoutingtherefs.com.
They're good, my book.
Subscribe, share, and keep those sticks down.
That's good play.